The thing about politics is that some issues are international. They may vary in focus from country to country, but they're the same issues. At every election, people vote on the basis of the economy, unemployment, inflation, law and order, defense, national security. In that sense, India is not very different from every other country. But there's one sense in which we haven't been exactly the same. The big issue in much of the West today is immigration. It's the big issue in England. It's the big issue in America. In the UK, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is probably going to lose the next election. And one reason is because his supporters will not come out to vote because they're unhappy about immigration. They believe that Sunak's government has not been able to stop illegal immigration. And they believe that even legal immigration numbers are too high. So they're going to vote against him. In America, it's a close-run thing, but one candidate who might well win is Donald Trump. And Donald Trump's big issue has always been immigration. The time he won, he ran his campaign essentially on the issue of immigration. He kept saying, we'll build the wall, we'll get Mexico to pay for it. But he always talked about immigration from Hispanic countries, bad hombres, as he called them, and he said he would stop them. Now, that's different in India. So far, immigration has been a concern in some states, usually border states in the east, and to some extent, perhaps in Tamil Nadu, but that's it. This time, it looks like immigration will become a national issue at the next general election. Of course, we don't call it immigration. We say it's about the CAA. But when you think about it, it's exactly the same issue. It's an issue of who has a right to come and live in our country. Now, the justification of the CAA is not bad. If you listen to it, you'll find it pretty convincing. The justification is as follows. In many countries in our neighborhood, Afghanistan, for instance, Hindus face appalling discrimination. So do Sikhs. If these people want to leave Afghanistan and they want to seek shelter somewhere and they come to the Indian border, as indeed many have, what do we do? Do we say, no, go away, it's nothing to do with us? It would be heartless to say that, right? And it would probably be illogical and probably not have the support of most of the country. I think we would have to say, yes, we understand you're being discriminated against. We understand you're suffering. We will give you shelter and eventually we will give you citizenship. It's not a bad argument and I don't think anyone can really object to it. But you know what happens with immigration is that while the debate at one level is about immigration and the agenda is often ostensibly clear, as this one is, there's always a second agenda, a hidden agenda, or well, a subconscious agenda, if you like. And that agenda in the West is about race. For instance, let's go back to Donald Trump. When he went on and on about the immigrants who were going to come into the United States and the illegal immigrants, he was essentially talking about Hispanics. All the language he used, all the examples he used, were all about people from South America, Central America, Mexico. Nobody worried that white people were going to come to America. That was never an issue as far as he was concerned. It's the same thing in England. In the 1950s and the 60s, the British reached out to the Commonwealth. They reached out to India, Pakistan, to the West Indies, and they asked for people from those countries to come to Britain, and they did. And as a consequence, they ran the trains, they ran the buses, they ran the National Health Services, which would still collapse, I think, without immigrants from Commonwealth countries. And that was fine till about the mid-60s, when white people noticed that there were lots of brown and black people on what were previously lily-white streets, and they started objecting. The moment there was this resentment, politicians took advantage of it. The first one to take advantage of it, of any consequence, of course, it was a very racist guy called Enoch Powell. But many people followed in his stead. And even the Labour Party, which had traditionally opposed any caps on immigration, turned its way around and began to demand limits on immigration, said it would not support further immigration. So immigration, while talked about rationally, is actually often not rational at all. It's about prejudice. It's about race. That's what the immigration issue in the West is about. And that's one of the problems that both Sunak and Biden face, because Biden is opposing Trump, who is counting the number of immigrants that Biden has let into the United States. Now, in India, race is not really a big deal. We don't care about it. But our equivalent of race is religion. If you've been following the debate over CAA, and you think it's reasonable that persecuted Hindus should be given new homes in India, fine. I don't think anybody disagrees with you. But there is one element to it, which is that the CAA counts people from whichever religion who can come into India. And it includes Sikhs, it includes Christians, it includes Hindus. All of them will be given the sort of fast track to citizenship that the CAA allows. The one religion it does not include is Islam. Muslims are not eligible to benefit from the CAA. Now, the argument is, again, when you say this to them, it's framed in terms of these are people escaping prejudice from Muslim countries. They're being discriminated against Muslim countries. If we were to offer shelter or citizenship to Muslims, it would be illogical. It would be absurd. That's not what this is about. And I don't dispute that. But there are a couple of issues that I think you have to think about. The first of them is constitutionality. Whenever you pass a law, I don't think you can base it on race or you can't base it on religion. In no civilized country after Nazi Germany has that ever happened. Look at the British, who were quite clever about it. In 1968, 69, when people started coming from East Africa, these were Indians and Pakistanis, or people of Indian and Pakistani origin who had British passports. The British were unhappy, but they let them in because they didn't want too many brown people coming. In 1971-72, when Idi Amin expelled the Ugandan Asians, most of whom, all the ones who applied to live in England, had British passports. The British initially refused them entry. Now, how can you refuse entry to somebody who has a British passport only because that person is brown? So they found ways around it. They said that their British passport had a C on it, and a passport with a C did not guarantee right of residence. But eventually, despite enormous domestic opposition, the public had to give way to the humanitarian concern, and the Ugandan Asians were let in. That's probably a good thing for England. If you look at Britain now, the East African Asians have made a huge difference, have improved, in fact, the quality of life in the UK. All the sort of so-called Indian politicians we talk about, Rishi Sunak, Suella Braverman, Priti Patel, they're not Indian, except unless you go many generations back. They're all East African Asians. So yes, the UK was allowed to let them in because of the pressure of humanitarian considerations, but it was the right thing. However, the prejudice continues. More East African Asians who try and get their families in, more people of color who try and get their families in, it's not so easy. But the British, of course, are the cunningest people in the world in many ways. So they evolved a new category because they were scared if they had restrictions on immigration, on citizenship that were based on color. Lots of South Africans, New Zealanders, Australians, who were sort of the people they wanted, who are all white, would be not allowed to come in. So the British, I think it was in 71, invented a new category called patriality. You were a patrial if you had just one grandparent who was British, which meant that no poor West Indian or Pakistani who was trying to get in would be eligible. But all of these white guys from Canada, from Australia, had no problem because they could usually find one ancestor who was white and who was therefore British. That's how the racist law was made to sound unracist. And that's pretty much the kind of situation that continues when it comes to immigration and citizenship in the UK. In America, after Donald Trump had finished abusing Mexicans and people like that, he started on Muslims. He went out in public and he said that Donald J. Trump is calling for a ban on all Muslims entering the United States. when he became president, he intended to go ahead with that ban, and it was pointed out to him that it was unconstitutional. No civilized country can ban people on the basis of religion. So they found a way around it. They banned entry of citizens from certain countries, which by some coincidence were all Muslim countries. So yes, there is, I think, a degree of embarrassment about making decisions like this based on religion or on race. But most countries find a way around it. In India, we're not even attempting to find a way around it. We are very clear that Muslims will not be covered by this EAA. And even when there are objections, these objections are dismissed. For example, if the CAA is meant to help people who are victims of persecution, there are many Muslim sects, many minorities who are persecuted in Muslim countries. Surely, if the objective is to help people in the subcontinent who are being persecuted, you should allow them in. There are the Rohingyas in Burma who've gone off to Bangladesh to live in refugee camps, who've been persecuted by non-Muslims. But because they are Muslims, no matter if they apply for Bangladesh or whatever, they're not eligible for CAA. The argument there is that Muslims of any kind, if they are of a Muslim sect, it's not our problem. They can be persecuted by other Muslims. They can go off to other Muslim countries. After all, there are many, many Muslim countries in the world. Well, yeah, that's true. But there are also many, many Christian countries in the world. Yet, Christians will get the benefits of CAA. So it's quite clear what's going on here. Why has immigration become an issue? Well, there's always been, I think, some concern about immigration in border states, particularly in the East. For example, in Bengal, there's a certain amount of worry and concern about people coming in from Bangladesh. Now, these are not people coming in because they've been persecuted. They're coming in for economic reasons, in search of economic betterment. You can have your own views about that, but if you think that this is a bad thing, then you're in real trouble, because most Indians who've gone to America, who've gone to Europe, have gone in search of economic betterment. So these Bangladeshis are not really that different from the Indians who went to America, England, from the 1960s onwards. But yes, there are strong views, partly because people don't like their jobs being taken, but mostly, I think, because these are people from what they see as a different culture, and they resent outsiders, just as people in the West resent brown people or black people. Now, the BJP, I think, the reason it's notified the CAA and put it into the law just before a general election, hopes to capitalize on that resentment. So if it were to take these funny ways that Trump did, of saying, no, we're not against religion, just against people from a particular country or a particular set of countries, or the British saying, no, we're not against brown people, they just have to have a British great-grandmother or whatever. If they were to do that, if they were to have a cunningly framed CAA, it would kind of defeat the object of the exercise. So they're quite unapologetic about the fact that Muslims are not included within the purview of the CAA. They say quite reasonably that there is another route to citizenship, which takes, I think, 11 years, and Muslims are welcome to apply through that. But no, the fast track that CAA offers will not be available to them. Now, I think there is some question about whether it's constitutional to pass this kind of law. On the whole, in India, as in most other Western democracies, we've avoided including religion when it comes to laws like this. It's complicated because we do allow religion when it comes to personal law, but in all other law, we don't actually allow religious distinctions. This is the first major example I know of a law that's based on religion, and it's entirely possible that people will consider it unconstitutional, that there will be battles in the Supreme Court, and that the Supreme Court will rule. But hey, here's the thing. By the time the battles are waged, by the time the resolution comes, by the time the Supreme Court decides, this election will be over and Narendra Modi will have won. So that's why you have CAA. It may or may not be reasonable. It may or may not be intended to help Hindus, which is surely a good thing if they are being discriminated against. But it's certainly intended to send out a particular message. And my guess is that message will work.